could be lit. And then, of course, we continue tomorrow as well. Not just the Holy Name Weekend is for in memory of Pallavi, but of course Govin Jimoji, the father of the family, and Benavent, the mother, who recently passed away as well. So it's really, your prayers are requested for all three of them. I also want to welcome here Kripa Moya Prabhu and his good wife Guru Chana Papa Mataji. Thank you for joining us. And of course the temple president in Scotland, Prabhupada Prana Prabhu. Thank you for being with us as well. So program will be, we'll request Maharaj to lead us in kirtan, he'll be speaking, and we'll be having prasadam, probably around 9 o'clock. I totally forgot. I also want to welcome Gauri Prabhu, who's a member of the family, of course, but also not are we in Scotland, but we're also in Wales with Takanath Prabhu. Have I forgotten anyone else?
The President of Wales.
The President of Wales. When Pranam Bangla and Takanath get together, the house has to empty. Gauri Prabhu, did you want to come in here?
No,
you're right. Definitely not. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Years ago, Srila Prabhupada was living alone in New York City. I've only been in New York City once or twice. It's horrible flights. Everything moves at breakneck speed. Srila Prabhupada was a Calcutta boy, but he'd come really from Mumbai, where he was staying for quite some time, to New York, but still it was a different experience. And Prabhupada didn't have anyone. He was living by the grace of a Mayavadi yogi, where Prabhupada would go to cook his meals. And as I mentioned the other day, Prabhupada was living in a little closet. It was a closet, had no windows, just had a sink. And which meant that for Srila Prabhupada just to use the toilet, he had to walk like the best part of a mile. And where he would take a shower, where he would cook, and then he would also feed this Dr. Mishra. And when he had the opportunity, he would preach. And he would tell Dr. Mishra's students everything they were hearing was nonsense. And it was quite a lonely existence. Srila Prabhupada he left his family. He was a sannyasi, so his family couldn't help him. And even later on, when 1977, there was only one of his sons who really had maintained contact with him, Vrindavan Chandra. So Prabhupada's godbrothers, they couldn't even bother to send him a mridanga. he asked him for it, what to speak of sending him money, because Srila Prabhupada had all these grandiose visions. He saw empty buildings he wanted to buy for a Radha Krishna temple. But Prabhupada didn't give up all. Srila Prabhupada persevered. And amongst all the many wonderful things and wonderful qualities that Srila Prabhupada possessed, Srila Prabhupada really had this Dridha Vrata. He was determined. He was determined to do his best, even though he could have gone on a boat to go back, but he never did. And even when it came to sort of getting his residency permit, Srila Prabhupada just came up north to Montreal. That's where the second temple was started. It's in a bowling alley. That's where I joined, in the bowling alley. Lions and a parquet floor and so on. And it had a high ceiling, and we just had partitions in such a way that it didn't reach to the ceiling. So it was the Brahmacharini ashram and the Brahmachari ashram, the temple president, and then he just had a little baby. And they were, everyone heard everything, everyone knew everything, and the temple room at that time just had Jagannath deities. It was interesting. Prabhupada was living on Prince Arthur. He was on one end of the street, and I was living on the other end of the street. There's a little street, there's only three blocks. And because this was just a few blocks away from McGill University. I never met, or never saw Prabhupada, but he was close. And as a Srila Prabhupada lived under these conditions, and although he started getting a certain following, but they weren't the following he was looking for. Older people, people who liked the distant intellectual aspect of dealing with something esoteric. India was really coming into vogue at that time, and it was something else other than a place where people supposedly were all starving to death. And but Srila Prabhupada wasn't satisfied with that. He didn't just want people to come twice a week for a Bhagavad Gita class and go away and do nothing. He wanted people who would actually take it seriously, who would chant Hare Krishna, and who would do something quite extraordinary, which was to take over his mission and to carry his mission on. And so although Prabhupada was really in a very distant place, in a very unusual place, and from there Prabhupada's going to go even to a more unusual place, and we're going to go down to 26 Second Avenue, where all these mad youngsters are, who are all on drugs. The only ones who aren't on drugs are the ones who are in jail, and doing all kinds of crazy things, all of them all possessed of impersonalist philosophy, concocted philosophy, all things that they stuck together from different readings that they do. But he saw that they were willing, they were more committed. They showed a higher level of interest. At least he heard about that, actually, because there were just some students who came there and said, "Swamiji, you should come down to the Lower East Side." So Prabhupada went and lived again in Bowery, and places, other people's houses. You know, Prabhupada is coming from Vrindavan, he's coming from India, he's coming from a aristocratic Suvarnabhanic family. There's also gold merchants. And Srila Prabhupada's come from the spiritual world. And the Prabhupada was willing to humble himself to all of these things just in order to at least try. Because he didn't really know whether he was going to succeed, but Srila Prabhupada was willing to try, and that's a really wonderful thing, that he was alone, he had no money, he had no backing, so the chances were really quite slim that Prabhupada was going to get anywhere. But Srila Prabhupada tried, which is a really wonderful inspiration, wonderful example, that even though things may not necessarily look like they're going to work out and the odds may be stacked against us, but still we should try. We should try to do the right thing. You do the right thing, you get the right result. And so Prabhupada said it was beyond my expectations. And finally Prabhupada got a place. And again, it was a similar scenario. He rented an apartment for which donors gave $200, I think, for the apartment and the storefront to make a deposit. But that was it. Prabhupada had no reserves, no bank account, no anything. He kept money in a jar. And that's what it took to start the Krishna consciousness movement, that type of spirit. And that's the type of spirit that's going to make the Krishna consciousness movement be what it's supposed to be, which is the authority for spiritual science within the UK, within the world. That was that extraordinary spirit that Srila Prabhupada embodied, which is really the preaching spirit of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda. Paradukadukhi Tipambuti, the primary concern is that people are suffering. And they don't really have any alternative, whatever their employment or religion or ideologies are. But here's something that will really make a difference to their lives. And Prabhupada writes about it, and it's one of the qualities of a devotee to take risks on behalf of Krishna. Prabhupada really took a risk after getting two heart attacks on his way over here. He didn't just say, well, this is too risky, and get on a plane and go back. Prabhupada took risks, and his health continued to deteriorate at certain points, and Srila Prabhupada continued right until the very end, right until Prabhupada got on a plane in September of 1977, the end of August. And he came here. It was a real risk. So that spirit, Srila Prabhupada's spirit, is what we need to remember. Half a century, that's a long time. It's a long time. But that spirit can't die, because that's what makes the Krishna consciousness movement. Not even chanting Hare Krishna makes the Krishna consciousness movement, because there's a lot of people chanting Hare Krishna all over the world. And ultimately, some of them have very serious philosophical misconceptions. Others have the same philosophical understanding as we do. And yet still, they don't take seriously giving Krishna consciousness to others. with that type of blessing, with that type of mood comes a certain type of special blessing, extraordinary blessing that Prabhupada kept reminding us of. He said, if you want to be noticed by Krishna, then do something special on his behalf to preach. And that's how Krishna notices you, quickly. Krishna sees everything, but to get Krishna's special attention. So in that sense, Srila Prabhupada is, of course, he's the founder acharya of our institution, but Srila Prabhupada laid the foundation for this type of spirit, this missionary spirit, which gives a certain type of taste and a certain type of life. It's not easy, that nothing really quite matches. And so once when Prabhupada was in New York, just after 1976 Rath Yatra, and Srila Prabhupada became very sick, got a bad cold, and he was coming here, right, for Rath Yatra here, was it? And of course everyone said, no, Srila Prabhupada, don't go to old rainy England, it's not good for your health. So there, and Prabhupada was entertained, maybe you should go to Texas, maybe you should go to Hawaii, and the police were ready to make all kinds of arrangements. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada then was leaving, and it was a very nice property, 14-story skyscraper, Prabhupada called them. And Prabhupada came down in the lift, and when he got to the bottom, where all the devotees were having big kirtan to see Prabhupada. And Prabhupada turned to devotees who were with him, to all Krishna Maharaj and others. He said, I want the blessing to be able to fight for Krishna to my last breath, just like Arjuna. And then Prabhupada came to London. So, and that's what Prabhupada did. Listening to Srila Prabhupada to the very last days, he's just thinking about how to spread Krishna consciousness, advising devotees, guiding devotees, inquiring about what's going on here, there, encouraging others, sometimes correcting them. Extraordinary. It's like when the first devotee went with Srila Prabhupada to Vrindavan, and he wrote back, he said, it's wonderful here, so many devotees. He said, but there's no one like Swamiji. And that was a fact, there's no one like Srila Prabhupada.